Next up, we have Dwight Nordstrom. Dwight was doing BAM before there was the term BAM. He's been working in China for over 30 years. He, when I asked, you know, what could I tell everyone, he has two titanium knees. So, you know, you might have good knees. He has titanium ones. He actually got his start in Taiwan playing professional basketball back in the day. But he said he's only beat his wife at horse two times in their lives. And he said it's because she shoots 95 to 97% from the free throw line. So it's not because he's bad. It's because she's phenomenal. So Dwight has lived in China most of the last 30 years. He has a group of 25 companies been featured in some of the business's mission books. And he's coming today to share with us. So let's give him a big hand as he comes up.
So what he didn't tell you was the titanium knees just were put in about 8 weeks ago. And so that was the... and doing two at one time has been an interesting challenge. Been the longest I've been outside of China, except for one other thing, since the 90s. So this two months now, a little over 2 months. I have been asked to talk about a subject, building larger high-impact BAM companies. I am a practitioner of BAM, so as you want to pigeonhole me where I'm at, seconds. And I'd like you to prayerfully consider bigger, longer term, partnering in a team, not as a lone ranger, getting technology partners, and consider the 2%, 20%, and 20 million. The 2% is our company has focused now in 28 investments in cities where less than 2% are Christian. A typical example was a major acquisition, actually it was recapitalization, in a city of 3.5 million people in South China. There was two open churches in the entire city of 3.5 million people. The day after we acquired 100% of the factory, the recap happened actually in the U.S. tech partner. We did a survey, 15 questions. This is not one you could do in your due diligence of about 6 months. There were no Christians in the entire factory. Nine had seen a Bible. Today, we're in month 15. We're up to about 195 employees. We have about 30 people meeting on Wednesday nights. And they're in various stages. So focus on God's special heart for those that have never had a reasonable chance to hear the gospel. So 2% or less tends to be a real sort of tipping point in that environment. The 20% in business plans, I encourage people, business plans never happen as they are written, but they do better, they do worse. But we look and really want to consider things that we can see a 20% or more ROI. And we can talk about ROI and some of the benefits and drawbacks, but for us that. And then as a revenue, again, what industry are you in? Consulting, you've got higher margins, but in manufacturing, really when your survivability gets pretty competitive is if you can be at the 20 million mark or more and in annual revenue. So that's a 2%, 20%, and 20 million. Now I have a couple disclaimers. The first is that I understand that this may be controversial, intentionally so. The second is we're describing a niche and not the norm for BAM. So this is a niche, not a norm. It's a subset. But I do want to say the data shows there are several very compelling advantages to having a bigger size BAM company. How many are from the Philadelphia area within 100 miles? Just raise your hand. Great. Philly is a fantastic place for us. We've had over 20 tech partners, but I want to compliment. You have a wonderful Christian, and most of our partners are not Christian, by the way, but they're men of peace. They're companies of peace. But Cardone Industries, a nice $3 billion-plus company here. We have worked with for over 10 years, seeing nine U.S. dollar figures in sourcing from China. And just a great, the Cardone family, wonderful believers, wonderful example. And they're part of some of my heroes. Secondly, this recap we did is in Warminster. We're 50% market share of shower doors for Home Depot, for Lowe's, and for Menards. We're about 45% on Amazon. That's over 250,000 shower doors a year. That was the factor I just described. Some of my BAM practitioner heroes. So yesterday there was discussion about some of the heroes, and we talked about Calvin and Luther and Zwingli. And I'm like, man, and the BAM heroes, I just think we need to honor them as well. You had Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians of the 17th, 18th, and 19th century. Read some of their history. Just fantastic. Paul Broman of Grape City in Japan and MK. Paul was a wonderful man, wonderful company. He's with the Lord right now. The Gordon family of Gordon Foods, one of the top 250 companies in the U.S., just wonderful in their BAM expression. Ken Kroll out of Israel, a former partner who's with the Lord as well. John Beckett, we've had now a 10-year partnership. And then some people even that have failed but have been wonderful mentors for people. Gary Ginter and John Cragen, you may know of that. Now, to understand me better, is Bill Job here? Okay, yeah, Bill. So your toilet paper analogy, so you have to understand there's different personalities, right? So, like, I won't have pictures on mine, this engineering background. Your toilet paper, so those of you who were here yesterday, the toilet paper analogy. I didn't think he was going to talk about all these years and the length. But for those of us that live in countries, I hate the one-ply toilet paper. So I thought you were going to talk about how many plies do you have. And like, so I got to the hotel. I arrived at the hotel. So how many are living in the hotel? Okay. So what you may not know, let's see, has anybody figured this out? How do you get multiple plies? So I'm efficiency, right? Lean manufacturing. If you take out of one, so they're on top of each other, the toilet rolls. They're on top of each other. And they have these little covers. So probably most of you are inefficient. And so this is my toilet. You know, you roll down to one and you fold it over because you don't want just the one ply, right? That does stuff that you don't like. And you have to wash your hands. Well, first thing I did when I came is I got both rolls together. And it is more efficient and actually it gives more space. So that's my, thank you, Bill, for that. A little bit of our holding company background. We've been in these cities in China, as you can see, and since our first investment in 1990. Prior to that, my 7 years before that was in multinationals, was a corporate head for GE in China divisionally, but we had all the divisions together in the 80s, but really became an entrepreneur because of missionary call. Never been financed by nonprofits, but needing to get to these cities, so that's what we did. We've had 20 plus manufacturing divisions. Typically, we're a 30% owner of the company. We do have and that's the bulk of what we do. And then we'll talk about some of the products. Consulting, got a group of 35, 40 people. We have 4 sourcing, engineering, and R&D centers, and we have other China investments. China's a really tough place. The largest Christian publisher is something that we do. 7 figures. It's a very tough business, but we are profitable trying to get the word out that way. But we're primarily in manufacturing. So does quality matter? We're known in China. We've been benchmarked for even beating some of the multinationals and taking cultures in China, both greenfields and acquisitions, to a Sigma 6 level or better in quality. Now, in bathroom fixtures, you don't want your shower door to leak. We can talk about, by the way, our returns to the stores are about 1/2 of, for instance, Kohler. And one of the reasons for that is the quality involved, and also we use virtual reality to communicate installation and things. Well, then you go up to telecommunications. We've had 4 factories in telecommunications, mobile phone antennas. You don't want your phone to mess up. We were not part of the Apple antenna fiasco, LCD displays. So that's important quality. But then you get to combustion engineering. one of our partners in our products. We're at 70% market share for those of you in the Northeast in oil burners. And we do the controls for that. And 100% of the controls are sourced from one of our operations in China. You don't want that low NOx, high efficiency gas burner control to fail on you. By the way, we've not even been approached with some of, if those of you know the tragedy with the recent gas pipeline, the extra pressure in that area. Well, then we go into specialty chemical. We have exited, but a $50 million plus revenue operation. And that was used where printed circuit boards need four layers or more. And we were pretty dominant in some of the solar power printed circuit boards. Of course, quite a bit of the military things use our chemicals there. But then aircraft, we're on our products. We're on thermal controls for aircraft engines. And then medical, also an exit, but we were the second largest medical stent for hearts. You don't want those to fail. And so quality is there. If I were to tell you one thing that Christian ethics delivers to us as a competitive advantage within China over the last 35 years, we could demonstrate that we've been able to achieve better quality quicker by asking Christian-based ethics. Doesn't mean the workers are Christian, but we insist upon the last five of the Ten Commandments, and that's been a real competitive advantage for us. Three business principles that support bigger, and we'll flesh this out a little more. But one is that more capitalization does result in better chances of success. That figure, and again, business survivability, there's a lot of data that you can look up. There's a lot of controversy with professors doing things. But if you try and distill down, it's a relatively true statement that the higher you go in capitalization for a business, financial capitalization, there's also human, and again, different industries, different things, to about the $25 to $50 million mark, you increase your chance of success. And there's a couple reasons for that. But thinking bigger, if you're looking at longer-term success, getting a plan that does get financing, and we'll talk about from where, I think does help in that area. The second is you're able to capture more competitive advantages, including proprietary distribution channels and technology. So, coffee shop, the typical example is a coffee shop that, you know, was set up in a street. If it's successful in parts of the Islamic world, ethno-linguistic worlds of India, or the unreached cities of China, China has 200 cities with a million or more, 100 of them are the 2% or less. If you set up a successful coffee shop, you'll get competitors very quickly, and it's tough to maintain a competitive advantage. And the last is the synergistic matching of skill sets. So when you have a small company, small team of one, two, three, or four people, you do everything. You do the billing, you do the delivery of services or products, you do the business development, you do the accounting, you do the hiring, and most people are not really suited to do all those things equally well. But when you have a larger team, and we focus on companies, we want to get 50 or more employees in the companies, you're really able to have that competitive advantage of skill sets that goes along with that. Hang on, I pushed too quick. There are some additional reasons for larger BAM companies. And I'm going to sit down here. These knees are beginning to feel it. And one is it's a unique encouragement to local believers. China is a tough place. And later on, we'll pray for the BAM businesses in the province of Xinjiang. Many of you know. But if we talk about China, so far we've had now about 270 non-nationals in our businesses in China. Those happen to be people that are believers. And we haven't had anybody kicked out of China since 1990. Now, that may change. But that's where we're at this point, versus most of the smaller groups have had lots of people kicked out. And so I think local, when you're a little larger size, you're paying a lot of taxes to local governments. You're meeting with local officials in a credible way. It can be a unique encouragement to the believers as you say that, hey, we're Christians, and we also express these Christian values that lead us to better quality. The training and mentoring opportunities tend to be more specific and robust. When you have larger groups, you can bring in interns more easily. Of course, scalability and franchisability is there. HR management, which is the key to number one thing for all businesses, is the right people. We've seen among our 20-plus groups where we were able to transfer people as they grew out of maybe a position or a calling, or for family reasons they needed to move to a different city of China. The fact we had things, we've been able to get more lateral transfers. Intellectual property rights, when you have a larger groups, you're able to develop that. Most of our operations have patents within the first 2 to 3 years of startup. Of course, a lot of industrial trade secrets. Government relations, when you have a larger group, we have a full-time team that focuses on government relations at the national level. Not corruption, but keeping relationships with governments. And particularly in the China context, you're able to, when local groups try and just put the squeeze on you, you're able to bring in some national government support to try and minimize that. Standards across the board from HR to company, you're able to develop those internally. And then the last is most spam from a number standpoint. You raise capital from family and friends. And family and friends are wonderful, but they'll give it to you because of you, not because of the plan. Many of you started off and it was all sweat equity, which means you were working, but instead of taking payroll, you put it into the company. And of course, that really doesn't help. If you're looking at some of the balance sheet items, it tends to just distort what's going on. And I think, in the chargeback, at least you got to put it in there, even if a hypothetical. But when you're forced to look outside for third-party capital, it's a great way. And in bigger companies, you should have that. It's a great way to distinguish good plans from better plans or bad plans. And so I encourage you to always, we don't do anything. Most of our third-party capital comes from our tech partners, but where they also believe in it, and they put in cash as well. So some final sort of quick thoughts on this. Begin with the end in mind. This whole series is on that. What business you choose is very important. And it's important because how big can you grow? Most businesses, the market's just the size not there. Are you going to capture 5% of the market, even 20%? But what business you choose, almost looking at it, I could tell you, well, how big could you actually grow? The second is, does the ecosystem of that business support church planting? For us, that's one of the major independent variables that has to be there for us to stay invested in a business. And you need interaction with people. You need touch points. If you're in a business that's IT, that has all your customers in the U.S. and you're in front of a computer screen, that's not going to be as robust for church planting. A great differential diagnosis question to ask BAMers is, where are you seeing spiritual fruit? And if they answer other types of people than their fellow employees, their suppliers, their customers, or local government people, probably their BAM business is somewhat incidental to their ministry. And so what business you choose really affects the ecosystem. And then the barrier to corruption. Restaurants, local cops can squeeze you. When we made medical sense, we could tell local cops, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to pay you. We're not going to do this. And they really, we're exporting some, we're local sales. And so there are, the business you choose will have an impact on that. As a comment, for us, we want to do one or two new investments a year or acquisitions. I'll look at 15. So if you're not looking at more than one plan, that's dangerous. And in fact, I would tell you, even looking at five ideas are not enough. You need to look at a little bit more. We have, when we failed, oftentimes we've associated with, we were too excited in the moment. We didn't look at enough other alternatives. So we look at one in 15. Hang on. Focus on who you're called to and where you're going. If you're called to this people group, if you're called to this unreached city, that's where you go. Oftentimes people, that's incidental. And if you don't aim for those groups, that's why we have so many people and cities in the world that are unevangelized, because we haven't focused on them, and you need to do that. For us, all of our non-nationals have spiritual accountability contracts with qualified mission agencies. that will mentor us, that even though there's no financial relationship, we don't take any nonprofit financing in any direct way. For us, we need that. We're in tough spiritual places, and we need those groups. In this Islamic world, India and China, mission agencies, please understand, BAM needs you. We will not go to places without that support, typically with a strategy coordinator and those support services. Business, it's 50, for us, just like you, it's 50 to 60 hours a week. It's hard work, and we need you to keep in the front of our minds what are our Great Commission goals and plans. I encourage you, most of you like to do stuff totally by yourself, startups. For us, we have not done startups unless we have tech partners who are already doing the business in other part of the world. Most of our partners are number one or number two in their niche markets, but they're not Christian. But they see our performance, and they're willing to partner with us, and we put in some things in place, like it always we're able to appoint the general manager. And so we've been able to maintain our BAM focus, even with international partners that are not believers. But look at, you know, you need people, markets, technology, and capital to start, and in that order of importance. And if you think you're going to provide 100% of all of that, it's pretty risky. But we try and really help on the people side and the capital, and let the tech partner help us on the marketing and the technology. You are going to get spiritual opposition. Expect your own thorn in the flesh as well. That I would describe as something that you didn't really deserve or initiate, but it is something that's affecting you. Learn from your business failures. And I just wanted to right now just pray for those of you who know all the BAM companies that I'm aware of in the province of Xinjiang in northwest China, focusing among the Uyghur groups there, have been kicked out. That's about 100 different people here in the last 18 months. So let's just pray for them right now. Lord, I just pray that you would give mercy and grace and even compensation for some of the non-regulatory closures and forced leavings of those Christians among that. We also even pray for the Uyghurs. We pray that the Chinese party would get rid of these re-education camps. Lord, I also pray that you would thwart the party's idea right now to publish their own Bible, which, as we know in Revelation 22, is ultimately going to be thwarted. And so we ask that in your name. I love Chinese and I love China, but this year in particular, they've gone too far. Begin with the end in mind. Long-term demonstrably is better than short-term. Turtles are better than rabbits, and keep at it. But also recognize if your business isn't going to make it, you can do another business but not have to leave that city. And also leave a business if it's not performing well on both sides. And we've left both for either financial reasons or for Great Commission reasons. So out of 28, we've closed down 24, and we've had a lot of exits. As we finish up here, wanted to say that several people have asked about, you know, the China tariffs. And we're dealing with that. It's a significant challenge for our businesses. Something had to be done. But at lunch, we're going to have a special table. And for those of you that are in some way want to discuss what are some potentially mitigating opportunities with the current tariffs that are coming into the U.S., we'd be happy to do that and talk. Bill Jobe's going to help join me, and we'll just talk about some of the recent challenges in China. So if you've got some questions on that, we can get into more details at the lunchtime. So instead of the Q&A, what I'd like to do is around your table, could you put on your right brain? And could you think about, hey, what's an idea or ideas for larger size BAM? And so interactively, if you could just do that, I'll finish, and then in about 5 minutes, we'll close. But if you would talk around the table, what's an idea or two for a larger size BAM? Say we're, okay, what's the people, unreached people group or the city or country? And thank you very much.